Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. The Packers are literally just moments ago wrapping up their second-to-last public practice of the 2024 summer. Fun play to end practice where Jordan Love apparently tries to throw over the middle. Quay Walker tips it up into the air. Elgton Jenkins catches it and essentially pushes a pile 20 yards for a touchdown. Elgton Jenkins, wide receiver number one. There you go. Matt LaFleur doesn't need to vomit. We found the number one wide receiver on the Green Bay Packers. It is Elgton Jenkins. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody piling in here already in the comments section. Appreciate each and every one of you. That's right. Second to last practice in the books. The final practice will be on Thursday when the Baltimore Ravens are in town for a joint practice and then a preseason game on Saturday. As I put up on Twitter this morning, the Packers are really hoping that you can come out to practice with your kid and a bike and help the Ravens enjoy the time-honored tradition of riding a bike to practice. The Ravens, each and every one of them, will apparently be riding bikes to practice if enough people show up with their bikes. So if you're in the Green Bay area, make sure you head down to practice on Thursday to wrap things up. I think the vibe is going to be immaculate. I'm really excited to get the Ravens in town and see the joint practice, and then obviously see the preseason game to wrap up the preseason. Also, speaking of, if you are in the Green Bay area, the Packers announced today that they are having a watch party in Titletown for the season opener against the Eagles down in Brazil. You do have to pre-register, go to the Titletown website, but it is free, and apparently they'll be showing it on a monster big screen, and you can enjoy the proceedings with your fellow Packers fans in the Green Bay area. So if you're around town, make sure you do that, because it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get going, of course, we got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. Hell, they even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, in our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, or SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. How we doing, folks? I'm going to keep it shorter today because we have happy hour at the top of the hour. Patreon members, Care the G Club members, hope to see you there. In the meantime, Ed starting us off with a super chat. What's going on, man? Horning and Creamer used to handle the kicking. I think AJ has enough leg to nail 60-yarders, just saying. I'm glad you brought up the kicking, because I've seen so much hand-wringing this afternoon because, you know, Joseph apparently missed a bunch of kicks and Hale missed a kick, etc. Carlson went 4 of 5. That's a good day at the office. People need to calm down, man. Yes, the overall numbers on the entirety of camp have not been great, but Carlson's trending the right way. That's what you want. Just drives me insane. People are such prisoners of the moment, kick by kick, second by second. Breathe in and out, through the nose, out the mouth, however you need to. Just please go outside, feel the sun on your face. Try and let the Packers figure out the kicker thing, which probably is just going to be Carlson. So it's just funny to me that people are so kind of hand-wringing about it. Like, oh, it's going to cost them the season. I've seen people already writing the season. They're going to lose in the playoffs because Carlson's going to miss a kick. Man, it is August. Let's chill out, shall we? Soda, what's up, man? Welch, number 54, got to live up to random Packer Scott Steven. That's a lofty comparison right there, sir. Nick, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. Caleb Jones had fourth highest PFF grade. Didn't allow the pressure over 9 pass blocking snaps at right tackle. Hope he kills it this week. Go Pack, go. Man, I keep pulling for Caleb, but he doesn't seem to be able to make that jump into that swing tackle competition with the ones. Now, that said, I did see that there were some injuries at tackle, new injuries in practice this morning, or I'm sorry, this afternoon. So perhaps maybe he gets a shot. But you would think if it was going to happen, it would have happened. And it just doesn't seem like he can make that final push into that actual swing tackle competition. But we'll see. Maybe he gets a long look on Thursday and in the preseason game, which would be nice. Love in football. It did last year, Aaron. No, it didn't. Absolutely not. There was plenty of time on the clock after that missed kick. Defense could have played defense. It did not cost them a playoff game. Sorry, guys. There's all sorts of shit that goes into a game. And look, this is the same thing as quarterback stats, being wins and losses not being a quarterback stat. The actual game of football is played with 11 guys on one side. Y'all are so crazy about this shit. It drives me nuts. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Packers backup QB better / worse than Brett Hundley. Ooh, Joe. Now, why you gotta go there? I mean, at this point, I'd probably give the nod to Brett Hundley, but there's a ways to go. They're still gonna be bringing these guys along, trying to develop them, get them into a better position, etc. I will say, I do think, given the type of offense they're running now, as opposed to what Hundley was being asked to run with so much isolation on the outside, etc., I suspect LaFleur would probably get either one of these guys into a better position than Mike got Hundley in back in the day. But this is guesswork on my part, but that's where I would be. That's where I would land on that one. Brandy, we got fireworks yet? Not that I know of. Nicholas, see, now that, Nicholas on Twitter, thank you. Look at you talking sense. I didn't know that was allowed on Twitter. Give me Anders and just be on the lookout for a new kicker. That's fine. That is fine. But this whole like burn it all down attitude just drives me insane. Like, he's your kicker. Pretty clear. I would hope you support who we are, not who we are not. H. Carrington. No encouragement needed to also blame Joe Barry. That's fair. Very fair. People get mad at the kicker when the offense can't score during 60 minutes. Well, yeah, but the offense, if you're talking about the game in Denver, I mean, you've got second and third stringers going up against frontline starters. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Now, that said, you would have liked to have seen them get at least into the red zone at some point. That would have been nice. But yeah, I feel you, man. I feel you. This is your team, A. Nagler. Yes, A. Nagler / oh, God, I'm forgetting his name. It's going to drive me insane. Why do I want to say Doc Hopper? What? The character's name in Hoosiers. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. Oh, that's awful. That's awful, Aaron. Can you explain how Green Bay knew Halfley was available? Is his agent reaching out to teams? Glenn, that's the old, what do you call it? That's the old game of telephone. You know a guy who knows a guy. Relationship business. Halfley knows a lot of people that know LaFleur. Undoubtedly, when Matt was casting a wide net looking for someone to take over, he asked about, did you know anybody with a really good offense, a defensive mind, somebody who maybe has a really good handle on a lot of the different modern ways to try and adapt to these kind of offenses that are so multiple. And I'm sure someone along the way mentioned Halfley's name, would be my guess. Or Kent Fowler, or at least get close enough to attempt some missed field goals. I mean, fair. Very, very fair. Steve Anthony says, I'm more concerned about the O-line than kicker or QB2. That's fair. I mean, especially considering how little they've done as far as production goes, right, in some of these preseason settings especially. I will say, though, you got to remember, and I think we talked about this yesterday, while it can be frustrating watching the backups, and especially a backup offensive line, you got to remember, if and when one of these guys is elevated and called upon and asked to kind of, steady the ship, so to speak, if an injury strikes, it's one guy being inserted along with the starters. It's not like a hockey line shift and you have like a bunch of guys taking the front line's place. I mean, I understand, again, that you'd like to see a little bit more cohesion, a little bit more production. But most of these guys, you put them in with the starters, and you can probably survive. You can probably game plan a little bit around it to stay away from their weaknesses, etc. I suspect you wouldn't see what we used to see when injury struck, especially at tackle, and Jason Spriggs came in, and then, you know, you're fine on first and second down, and then third down would come, and you just knew there was zero doubt Jason Spriggs was going to get blown up by some speed rusher. I mean, I feel pretty confident that that wouldn't be the case with what they've got on hand. Zachary, if Bisaccia doesn't turn it around this year, he gone. I don't agree. I do think they need to be a lot more productive on teams. They have to be a hell of a lot less penalty prone. But I think if anyone goes out and watches these public practices, you see Bisaccia is, yes, of course, coordinating the special teams, but he is very, very involved during the move the ball periods, during the team periods, on both offense and defense. Don't forget, he was named assistant head coach, 2 years ago, after his first year in Green Bay. He does a lot of things that don't pertain to the special teams. I think Matt really, really appreciates him on staff. I'd be very surprised, even if we just see, you know, the same type of performance from special teams this season as we saw last year, I still don't think he's gone. I think, like I said, I think Matt really appreciates what he does in the totality of his duties outside of just heading up the special teams. I blame teams on roster construction and game day roster changes. Rick, I think there's something to that. I think it's, you know, not an excuse, and I think every team is dealing with these kind of things, right? But yes, to your point, like who you determine you want to keep around, maybe you are either leaning into teams too much or not enough. Maybe the rosters being so fluid because of the practice squad and your ability to call guys up week after week, and then you have different guys on special teams because of it week after week. I think there's something to that. But again, it's not like there's like no, all the other teams are dealing with the same restrictions and or issues, you know? So yeah, a little bit. I agree that that's playing into it. Absolutely. No, it's not Dennis Hopper as Shooter. Shooter doesn't say it. Norman Dale. Oh, God. Thank you. Jesus, that was going to drive me insane. But thank you for the, Mr. JJ, thank you for the prompt, because that was going to absolutely blow my mind if I couldn't remember. Norman Dale. I would hope you would support who we are, not who we are not. RTR, thanks for checking out the stream, man. Aaron, how has Bullard looked so far as a rookie? Impressive. Physical. Nothing's too big for him. I will say I'm fascinated to see how much he and Evan Williams, are able to get on the field together, because I feel like both of them bring a lot to the defense. But Bullard, he's been running with the ones almost exclusively for the last, 2.5 weeks or so. I suspect he's your starter week one opposite McKinney. You're going to see a lot of him. I think he's one of those guys where it sounds cliche, but it's true. I think he's better towards the line of scrimmage than he is in space at this moment. You know, as a rookie, speed of the game, new scheme, it's going to take a while to assimilate, no question about it. But, man, he's a physical presence. He really has great instincts, and he arrives in a bad mood and gets guys on the ground, which is, hey, it's a rare thing in Green Bay, Wisconsin, no doubt about it. Rick Harris, ooh, that's a good question. Is Robert Rochelle going to make the 53? If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said yes for sure. Now, I think he's probably at a 50-50 clip. I think he really makes his bones on special teams. I think they really like him there. I know he played, I thought, a decent game in Denver, but you can really kind of see some of the shortcomings as far as from scrimmage and coverage, what have you. But it's not like you're going to make him, or he's going to ever be a major part in the rotation. The only way you would probably see him out there from scrimmage is if, you know, a bunch of injuries struck. Now, that said, you know, we've got another joint practice and a preseason game to go. We'll see how he acquits himself in those scenarios. But I suspect, yeah, if I had to guess right now, I think he does. But it's not as, I won't say that as surely as I would have like a week ago. I just think he's got to put a couple of really good practices and or a preseason game on tape, especially from scrimmage, to kind of lock it away. Mm-hmm. Was Morgan doing much at practice today? mostly individual as far as I could see on Twitter. We shall see. Dan, Brenton Cox, right on the bubble, right? I mean, they've got that four-man rotation at edge as far as, you know, obviously Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary. Then you've got Lucas Van Ness and Enig Bare. Those are your main four. I think Brenton Cox has done enough to make the team. But I think it's going to come down to if they want to go light at edge because they need another body someplace else, then maybe he gets the short shrift and gets put on the practice squad. But right now, I'd say he's on the bubble. I would say he's probably trending towards making it, though. I thought he had a much better performance in Denver than he did in Cleveland. Let's see how he does this weekend. Zachary, that's an interesting question. Do you think Bakhtiari sort of has beef with the Packers? No, I've talked about this before. I don't think it's so much that it's beef as it is, you know, you never feel great about being let go from your job, you know, and I do think the Packers were very, very patient with David. And I think they treated him as well as they possibly could. But at some point, they needed to move on. And I think you give it the benefit of time, get away from it. I'm sure David will look back and be in a better spot to understand that. I mean, just look at Clay Matthews. Clay literally just did a interview on a podcast where he talked about how he was very bitter after he was cut by the Packers. But now, the benefit of time and hindsight, he understands it, and he's in a much better place with it. I think Dave will reach that spot as well. And look, David, legendary player, was on the track to be a Hall of Fame player if it hadn't been for this damn injury. Still a Packers legend forever. He'll go into the Packers Hall of Fame. There's zero doubt about that. But yeah, I'm sure right now he's probably a bit miffed, a bit ticked about it. And again, I haven't talked to him about it, but I think that's only human nature and it's completely understandable. Mr. JJ, again, Nags, do you think it's possible the Packers will cut both backup quarterbacks, bring Pratt back on the practice squad, and then sign a veteran as a backup? I think if this were another NFL city, yeah, I think there's a decent chance that would happen. In Green Bay with this regime, I doubt it. I think they stick with both of these guys and probably not both on the 53. I think they'll probably release one, most likely Pratt, put him on the practice squad and have Clifford as their backup. That's my guess right now. Don't want to miss any super chats. Abdul, what's up, man? Hey, Aaron, sorry if this was asked already. Who are you more curious to see third preseason game, Lucas Van Ness or backup QB or kickers? People be obsessed with the kickers. Probably the backup quarterbacks. I want to see how they respond to, you know, obviously a substandard performance in Denver. Lucas Van Ness, I thought he had a really good game in Cleveland. I thought a little bit of running around, chicken head cut off, etc., against the Broncos. You do have to remember, I mean, he spent his entire rookie year learning a new position, techniques for that position, etc., and then a new defense gets installed, and now he's back to putting his hand in the dirt, etc. So I do think it's going to be not learning as you go, but I think there's going to be a bit of time while he's kind of honing his skills in this style of defense and at the 4-3 edge that he's being asked to play as opposed to being a stand-up guy in the 3-4. I mean, there's going to be a bit of a kind of trend towards, all right, I've got to like not relearn it, but I've got to be consistent with what I'm doing in this style of defense. But I also think he is going to be really disruptive this year. I really do. And I don't doubt for a moment that there's going to be kind of waves, right? There are going to be games where he matches up pretty well against the opponent, and there's going to be games where he's not able to generate much. I also think as the year goes on, hopefully that becomes more consistent towards the disruptive part, where he's able to be disruptive week after week, because that's what it's about. I mean, he's got all the physical tools in the world to essentially kind of blow up somebody and wander into a sack, right? The key is for him to be consistently playing at a high level that allows him to be productive and zero question makes life miserable for the offensive lineman in front of him. I think as he goes on this season, that will occur, but it's not going to be automatic. Abdul, thanks again, man. From 0 to 10, what are the chances we trade for a kicker? We can't say we're Super Bowl contenders playing Russian roulette with Carlson Joseph. See, this is what I was saying before. They're not. Carlson went 4 or 5 today. What more do you want from the guy other than to be absolutely perfect, which no kicker is, but he's trending the right way. I think he's going to be their kicker. I don't think they're playing roulette. I think he's their kicker. 0 to 10, what are the chances they trade for a kicker? I'll put it at a 2. I think it's highly unlikely, but it's a possibility. I'm not going to say it's completely impossible. We'll see how Brian's feeling about it. And see essentially what's on offer, too. I mean, that's the other thing. Ryan Goon, thanks so much for the super chat. Appreciate you. Oh, no. Hey, Nags, my dog Allie and I would listen to the daily chat religiously. I lost her last week and miss her dearly. I just wanted to let you know that what you do is really important part of our day for a lot of us. Go Pack. Ryan, that's incredibly kind, and I'm very, very sorry to hear that you've lost Allie. I will say, it's hard to say this. It's really, really important to me that I connect with as many different Packers fans as possible, right? I know I can be prickly. I can come off a certain way online. I want people to understand that I do this every day because, Ryan, exactly what you're talking about there. You know, it's a routine. We're all here together. And some of you, I've been here all offseason, right? Some others of you starting to kind of gain interest in Packers content as we get closer to the season. I just want everyone to understand that I'm making it for everyone. And Ryan, I really appreciate the sentiment. I am very, very sorry for your loss. And hopefully the Packers go on a historic, magical run this season. And that can comfort you at least a little bit. Because that's what this is about, right? It's escapist entertainment. At the end of the day, that's what the Green Bay Packers, the NFL, that's what it's about. For us as fans. Like, obviously for the people involved, it's a little more high-end than that. The stakes are a lot higher. But for us, ultimately, we're all Packers fans. We all want to connect to each other and root on our favorite team. Some of us more than others, while, you know, there's still Sean Clifford truthers that wander among us. I kid. I'm here even for the Clifford truthers. I want you all to be included and feel welcome. All right, buddy. With that said, I do have to get going. I will be back on Happy Hour at the top of the hour. Information for said Happy Hour is at the Patreon page, the community page here on YouTube. Hope to see you guys there. In the meantime, please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.